This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3041 for Monday, the 30th of March, 2020. Today's show is entitled, How to Use New Auto Tools, and is part of the series, Programming 101. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 39 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, How to Use New Auto Tools.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
You're listening to Hacker Public Radio, and this is the next episode in my very, very mini series on GNU Auto Tools. The previous episode, I took the time to sell you on the idea of using GNU Auto Tools. Now, broadly, I was selling you on the idea that you should use a build system. I don't care. I don't have a horse in this race. I don't care what build system you use. But honestly, a build system is a good idea. It's better than no build system. And if you want the reasons for that, then go listen to my previous Hacker Public Radio episode. I don't know the episode number to give you right now because I haven't uploaded it. I'm recording these in quick succession. So jumping into GNU Auto Tools here. This is going to be a sample little project for GNU Auto Tools. I just want to get you familiar with the process because it's a bit of a puzzle to put together. And unlike something like Git, where it's the first command is git init and then you're in Git, you're suddenly using Git. There's nothing like that for Auto Tools. It's not like you can say, you know, Auto Tools create and then you've got a project directory. And it, like RPM Dev has something like that too. So there's a couple of different packaging and build systems out there that kind of give you a place to start. Whereas GNU Auto Tools, it's a little bit less clear from Auto Tools itself where you begin. Now there is documentation. I would consider it complete documentation. I do not consider it good documentation. Which, and I mean that in the nicest of ways, because some people worked very hard on the documentation. It's just the documentation found on gnu.org/software/autoconf, it's very complete. It is very thorough, but it doesn't really step back ever that I could find and take you through the workflow. Like it tells you exactly what needs to be done. It just never tells you exactly, like, okay, what does that look like? Give me a, sit me down at a desk and show me what I'm going to do in order to reach that first Auto Tools project configuration. And that's what I'm hoping this episode, that's the gap that I hope to fill with this episode. So first of all, to get started with GNU Auto Tools, you need GNU Auto Tools. Strangely, GNU Auto Tools isn't actually a thing. It's kind of confusing, I guess, but I mean, it happens. GNU Auto Tools, when we say Auto Tools, we're talking about a collective. We're talking about a group of tools. One is AutoMake, the other is AutoConf, and the other is Make. You need those three things in order to use, and or in order to say that you are using GNU Auto Tools. Your Linux distribution most certainly includes those, but what they call them is kind of up to the distribution. So you may have to look around, poke around for what packages consist of GNU Auto Tools. Which pack you might find AutoMake, you might find Make, you might find AutoConf, you might find AutoReconf. Who knows how it'll be sort of split up. But those are the components that you will need: AutoMake, AutoConf, and Make. You may also need a compiler. Now, I say may because technically speaking, you don't need a compiler if what you're packaging up does not require compilation. So you may or may not need a compiler. AutoTools has a pretty strict directory structure. It knows exactly what it wants to find and where those things need to be. Again, it would be kind of cool if there was like a Auto Tools init sort of thing where it would build that structure for you, but there isn't. I mean, it would be easy to script that sort of thing. You could do this yourself, but out of the box, as they say, there is no such thing. You just have to know that there's a set of expected there's an expected structure. So first of all, your source code should be in a subdirectory called source, or rather src. That's what it expects. You can change it. There are variables, or rather macros, I guess, that you can invoke in some of your configuration files to tell AutoTools, oh, by the way, I didn't put my source in src. I put it over here instead. So, I mean, you can do that. I'm just saying that, like, why would you do that? You may as well put it into source. But there may be a good reason not to, so who knows? I mean, it's up to you. Point is, it's going to want to see a source directory. It also wants to see four different files: news, all capital, NEWS, readme, all capitals, readme, and it does need to be readme. So if you've got a readme.md for your Git repository, your Git host, then you'll probably want to symlink readme to readme.md. Authors, again, all capitals, AUTHORS, and changelog, bizarrely not all capitals, but with a capital C and a capital L, all one string, changelog. If you do not have those files, it will complain. I almost feel like it'll even say that. I almost feel like it won't even build. I could be misremembering that, but I kind of want to say that it won't build without those files. So you need those files. They can be empty, but they got to be there. Okay, so Auto Tools, the initial configuration file that you're going to want to create is a file called configure.ac. That needs to be out with all these other files, the change log and the readme and the authors and so on. So that's the project's root directory. Configure.ac needs to be there, and this is going to be a file with actual content. Like, this cannot be an empty file. This is an important file. The configure.ac is going to be used by AutoConf, which is a component of the AutoTools suite, shall we say. Specifically, it creates the configure shell script that users run before building your code. So you know that first famous step of the AutoTools incantation, dot slash configure, make install, dot slash configure, that's what this file is going to build. Now, the cool thing about that is that there's a bunch of standard actions that dot slash configure runs through, and you don't have to worry about the bulk of them. The ones that you need for sure are like two lines. There's two sort of, I think of them as variables, but they're not variables. They are M4 macros, and M4 is some kind of arcane programming language, I think, or configuration language. You can read all about it again at the gnu.org/software/autoconf manual. I won't go into it. We can call them macros pretty safely. So the first one that you absolutely need to have is AC underscore init, and those are both, it's all capitals. All the M4 macros, as far as I can recall, are all capitals. I think there's some custom things that you can put into something. Yeah, there are some custom sort of variables that you can create that don't need to be all capitals. But anyway, generally the macros are going to be all capitals. So AC underscore init. And this is kind of, well, it's an array, I guess, or a list at least. So you put AC underscore init and then parentheses. And within those parentheses, you need three properties. You need in brackets, in square brackets, you need the name of your project. Let's call it Penguin. You need the version. Let's call it 0.1.1. And you need the contact information of the maintainer. So I'll clat you at hackerpublicradio.org. So each of those properties is in square brackets, and they are all separated by a comma. So AC underscore init parentheses square bracket penguin close square bracket comma square bracket 0.1.1 or 0.0.1, whatever we're calling it, close square bracket comma square bracket clatu@hackerpublicradio.org, close square bracket, close parentheses. That's your AC init line. If we had a fancy auto tools generation script, I could imagine that those would be the required arguments for such a script. That would make sense. And then it would insert that line into this file, configure.ac. The other macro that you need is AC underscore output. I don't remember what it does. It has to be there. You're going to want it there. Just believe. So if you were to run autoconf at this point, and to run autoconf, you simply type in AUTOCONF at your prompt, then a configure script would be generated from this configure.ac file. And it would actually run. Like the configure script would run and complete successfully. So you've just made your that's the init step. That's you've now got an auto tools project on your hands. It's got all those little weird required files, the news and the authors and the change log and the whatever else, and it's got a configure.ac file. Now it's still missing some things, but I mean that's the beginning. So if you sort of have a routine like that initial kind of like, okay, how do I start one of these again? This is the thing you're going to want to remember right here. Make some files, dump two lines of configuration into a configure.ac file, and you're up and away. Okay, so the next macro that must be invoked in the configure.ac file are some functions to create a make file. And the make file is the that's the second step in the famous auto tools invocation. Dot slash configure, that's step one, we just covered that. Make, that's what we're about to do here, basically. So the macro for that, and again, this goes into configure.ac, is am underscore init underscore automake. It doesn't require any arguments, you just put it into the file and autoconf knows now to do some to run a routine called am init automake, and it'll make a bunch of stuff happen. AC underscore config underscore files is another thing that you need in the configure.ac file that you're working in, and as an argument, it requires the thing that it should be looking at to build the project. And in this case, that's just going to be make file. So AC underscore config underscore files parentheses square bracket make file with a capital M's close square bracket close parentheses. That those two lines, am init automake and AC config files with the make file as the argument, sets this up for yes, we're running automake after configure is complete. So generally speaking, it will your configure AC will contain those two lines quite probably exactly like that. AM init automake doesn't take an argument. You can't give it an argument. AC config files takes the argument, and it's very standard that the argument is make file, because that's sort of just the standard make. That's what make is looking for when you run make. By default, it's looking for make file with a capital M. You could name it anything you want, but that would be silly, so don't do that. Just use the normal conventions. You can call it make file. Okay, so after that, you may or may not need another macro, which you may or may not need to look up yourself. The macro that I'm possibly advising including here is something to tell your make process, your autoconf here, whether to know that to need a compiler. So, for instance, if you've written a project in C++, then you would use the macro ac underscore prog a underscore cxx. If you'd written something in C, then it would be ac underscore prog underscore cc. And I'm pretty sure there are a couple of different ones in addition to that. And those are listed again on the very complete documentation for AutoConf, or rather AutoMake, sorry. So that's gnu.org/software/AutoMake. And you're looking for the section 8, the chapter 8, building programs and libraries, and it will tell you the different AC underscore prog options that are available. Things for Java with GCJ, which I don't even know if that's around anymore. I think that's been deprecated, if I'm remembering correctly. Vala, I don't know, assembly, Objective C++. I didn't know that was a thing. Objective C, all kinds of different ones. They're there. You just need to know that they're there, and you need to know that you need them. And you may not need them if you happen to know that the thing you're packaging doesn't have C code or C++ code or Java code that needs compiling, then don't use that line at all. You can omit it, and all the real work will be done by the make file, and that's not a problem. I've got many projects too. I will have, when I'm finished converting all my projects to Auto Tools, I will have many projects that do not require C or C++ or Java compilers. So don't feel like it's necessary. It is not required, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, next. Let's actually move on to the make file. So the make file, you might think, if certainly if you were kind of hacking things together the way I was, you might think, as I did, that make files are not that hard to create. You can make them yourself. It's not that tough. Why would you use a program like AutoTools to make your make file for you? Well, it turns out that make files are kind of easy to make. They're kind of fun to make sometimes. You get to learn weird new syntax, and you get to do some cool tricks. But they're the ones that you make yourself aren't very complex. I mean, I've seen some complex home-written make files for sure, but generally speaking, they cover the things that you're thinking need to be covered. And it's not necessarily everything that actually needs to be taken care of. So letting AutoTools do that for you is very smart. It's one of the benefits covered in the previous AutoTools episode. Go listen to it, I guess, if you really need more convincing. But trust me, make files can be a lot more complex than the way that you're writing them right now. So let AutoTools do that for you. Okay, so the thing, the template, I guess we could call it, that serves as the origin for your make file that doesn't exist yet. And won't exist. You're not going to write a makefile. So it won't exist when you're finished this process. It is what gets generated by dot slash configure. So the template that you do create in order to sort of give AutoTool some guidance is called makefile.am. That's a capital M, makefile, and then dot am. That's am as in automake. And this is used by dot slash configure, and then it is actually invoked by the make command, by the user or whoever's building the thing. Okay, so the syntax of this is a little bit weird, a little bit different, and it's a fairly flexible file because it is essentially your opportunity to override what AutoTools thinks it should typically do. You may not have a whole lot to override here, and that is okay, but it is the place where you're going to specify some very specific elements about your project that you want to have taken into account. So, for instance, there are some variables that you can set in makefile.am. There's one, well, I should say the variables are denoted by their endings. So I feel like that's a little bit unusual. But for instance, let's say that you you want to make sure that from the bin directory, a program is included in the build process. So to do that, you would create a variable called bin, all lowercase, underscore, and then all capitals, programs equals, what did we say the project was named? Penguin. And then to further elaborate on what you mean by bin underscore programs equals penguin, that's kind of the, if you've ever made an RPM, that's kind of the provides line. You know, it's kind of telling you, hey, when you're finished running this, or when you're finished building this, you're going to have a command called penguin in your binary folder. So to further elaborate on how penguin is going to come into being, you make a new variable called penguin underscore sources with sources all capitals equals penguin.cpp. So let's unpack everything here. So bin underscore programs, that tells AutoMake that it needs to structure its make file such that whatever you've just listed in bin underscore programs needs to end up in the bin dir. That's the sort of the configuration variable, bin dir, which is usually a combination of what is it, exec and bin path or something like that, exec and bin. So the bin dir, whatever that is defined as in the dot slash configure, whether it was defined by dot slash configure automatically, or whether it was overridden by the user, because they know that their bin dir is slash user slash well, local slash bin, but actually I think that is the default. Well, they know that their bin dir is slash opt, for instance, or slash opt bin, whatever, wherever they have it. I don't know in this imaginary scenario. Point being, a user might have some other plans. So bin underscore programs is a variable that defines essentially what's going to be installed at the end of this process, the target, the payload. And then because these are all variables, you get to make them up yourselves, but you append them with these weird sort of underscore something sort of tags to identify them as variables associated with this other thing. So penguin underscore sources simply tells AutoMake that, well, we have this payload and the parts, it doesn't exist yet. The payload doesn't exist. So in order to get that payload called penguin, we need to look at penguin sources, and penguin sources is penguin.cpp. Now you notice that you're not telling it where to find penguin.cpp. And remember I said there were a couple of directories that were required by AutoTools, and one of them was actually the only one I think that I said was required was src. So penguin.cpp would need to exist in the src directory of your project. So because it's a default folder, which is src, you do not have to tell the program, the AutoMake program, where to find the source. It knows where to find the sources. It's in src. Now, if you had changed that or gotten clever and named it something different, then you would have to override the defaults. And I'm not going to go into that because that's, like I said, don't do that. There are defaults here to make your life easier. So if that's all you're doing, you're just building some source code and you expect AutoMake to do that for you and install everything where it needs to go, you're basically done. You've told it what the payload is. You've told it where to find the source code for that payload. You're done, sort of. I mean, if you have a man page, you're going to want to highlight that as well. So for man pages, you do dist underscore man underscore mans, all capitals, MANS, equals, and then like man slash example, or penguin.8, or penguin.1, or whatever category of man page your application would fit into. And that's assuming that you have a man page. But I'm assuming you're kind of getting the feel for the very the structure of the makefile.am. And again, you would look all the specifics up in the documentation to kind of find out what you're what tools are available to you, or what variables you can create, what classification of variables you can create. But that's kind of what you're doing here, is you're telling AutoMake what you're handing it. And this is, to my mind, when thinking of RPM packaging and when thinking of Slackware, Slack builds packaging, to my mind, this is kind of that part in the RPM spec file where you're telling the RPM, when you have finished building an RPM, these are the exact files you should find in the RPM. If there is extra stuff in there, throw an error and tell me what that is so that I can audit it. And I guess there's no analogy for Slack builds, so never mind about that. But anyway, so some of the other options that I feel like are they're worth mentioning would be automake options. That's all capitals with an underscore. Automake underscore options. The salient one that I'm going to mention here is the one that I use a lot. But again, look at the documentation for other options. But the one that I use is foreign subdir objects. So that's foreign space subdir dash objects. And what that does is it tells AutoMake that it's okay that we are, it's okay for it to look outside of its standard directory structure. So it's okaying for AutoMake that there are files potentially outside of SRC that it's going to have to deal with. Those are the foreign subdirectories. So, for instance, if you did have, let's say you had a shell script that you wanted to install, it didn't need to be compiled. Maybe it's a launcher for your compiled application. Maybe it's, I don't know, a configuration helper for the user, or maybe it's a dot desktop file. You know, who knows? Then those th that could be defined as dist underscore bin underscore scripts equals. And then, for instance, bin slash penguin dot sh. So dist underscore bin is telling it, when I'm building this for distribution, I want you to include this script. And the script is found in bin slash, or it's found in the local bin directory, and it's called penguin.sh. Of course, if I had it somewhere else, I wouldn't tell it was. I wouldn't say that it was located in bin. If I had, I don't know, a scripts directory or something, then I would tell it, you may find this one in scripts slash penguin.sh or whatever. You can include all kinds of things. You don't have to just, it doesn't have to be shell scripts and man pages and compiled programs. You can just do extra underscore dist, all capitals, extra underscore dist equals, and then just list the files, space delimited list of the files that you want to throw into the distribution of this software. The only other major change that I can think of to make would be a better clean rule. I don't find that the automake clean rule is all that great. I don't know that mine is that great either, to be honest, but it does kind of work for me. I call it nuke, so I do a make nuke and it deletes a bunch of stuff. So I remove things like config.status, configure, config.log, the make file, auto m4te.cache, ac local.m4, compile install dash sh missing make file dot in config dot guess config dot sub. None of those are included in the make clean directive in the default make file for some reason. Definitely the make file wouldn't probably include a rule to remove itself. So that kind of makes sense. But when I do a make nuke, I really just kind of want to reset the whole project back to having to run autoconf again, really, is what I want. Whether that's maybe overkill is up to you, it depends. But just know that when you start building things in with auto tools, a lot of files are going to be generated, and you may feel like you want to get rid of some of them. So just kind of be aware of that. Okay, so that was the auto, or that was the make file dot am rather. And that's the configure.ac file. We've got that going. Really, you're ready to go, to be honest. The way that this is all generated for the user is going to be just the dot slash configure make sudo make install. But you're not just a user. You're someone who is building, you're bootstrapping an auto tools project from scratch. So in order to hand something over to your users that they can do the mythical dot slash configure make install, you need to create support files. And the way that you do that is autoreconf, AUTOReconf, space dash dash install. You'll need that option for it to generate some missing files. So autoreconf space dash dash install creates a couple of new files and sets everything up for distribution, really. So when you do a make dist, that's the command that AutoTools gives you for free. It's just there in your make file. When you do a make dist, then it creates a tarball with a copy of your project in it, with everything that sort of needs to be, everything's generated, everything's there that a user needs to be able to just unzip or rather untar, and then do a dot slash configure make install. So generally speaking, as the developer, you're going to do a make dist more often than you're going to do, for instance, dot slash configure make install. You'll do a make dist that will package everything up nicely into a tarball for your users. If it's not for the users, then it's probably for the packagers, and they'll appreciate that as well. They'll be able to download this release. The dist is kind of your release. They'll be able to download that, point their RPM build system to it, or take it into their Slack build tree or their ports tree or whatever, and kind of write some kind of script or a spec file or whatever they do. They'll point it at that dist file that you've provided for them, the dist tarball, and their automated system will unarchive it, change directory into it, and run dot slash configure make, and then probably dest dir equals some temporary file location sudo make install. And it will just magically work. Now, if you're building it for your own, for testing and stuff, then you'll probably act more like a user, and you'll manually do a dot slash configure, and then you'll do a make, and then you probably won't do a make install. Maybe you will. I don't know what your setup's like, but you might run something out of the build directory, or you might make maybe you install it somewhere locally, or maybe you install it into a virtual machine. Who knows? And then you can run it and test it and so on. And that's it. That's AutoTools. That's the process. And as you can tell, it's not technically that hard. It's just you're just kind of on your own. That's the biggest drawback, is that you don't really exactly know what you need to put into the two essential files that exist. I'd say that even though configure.ac is kind of the most mysterious because it uses all of these weird M4 macros that you've never heard of and you didn't even know existed until you go searching through the documentation to find out what they even are or what are available to you. And there are a couple. I mean, there are some good ones. I mean, there's like ac underscore canonical underscore host that will probe the system that it's being run on for the OS, for the host OS, and then you can do case statements within your configure.ac and sort of detect whether one OS needs to be built and the other doesn't need to be built, and so on. So it's kind of nice. Like, there are some really neat things that you can do. There are AM conditionals that you can test. You could say, okay, well, is this conditional? Has this been set to yes? Because if so, then we'll build this thing, and if not, then we'll build this other thing, and so on. So there are some good macros to use. You just have to read up on them and see what they are and see why you might need to use them or might why you might want to use them. Makefile.am is a lot more flexible. You can make your own rules in Makefile.am. You can make your own. You can define different settings. You can create your own Makefile snippets to be inserted into existing ones. So it's yeah, you can do quite a bit in Makefile that gets sort of parsed and translated and stuck into the resulting Makefile, which is super powerful, but it can be a little bit overwhelming almost sometimes because you just think, I don't even know what I need to do in here. And typically the way that I approach it is, well, I start running it, I start running auto tools, like test builds and stuff with a minimal setup. Just here's the configure.ac with like four lines in it, and here's the minimal makefile am with like the really obvious things like yes, foreign subdir objects, yes, here's my man page, here's my script, or here's my source, or whatever. Now run it and see what happens. And inevitably, something will be missing. And so then you realize, okay, well, what I need to do is I need to add this rule so that it knows to look over here for this thing, or add this file. This file has a requirement to the main build rule, or make a new rule to clean up things better, and so on. So it's just kind of, it is iterative, I would say. At least that's how I approach it. I mean, maybe there's someone out there who knows it really well and doesn't have to iterate time and time again, but that's generally how I do it. I do the obvious things, run it, and then clean up and sort of make up for what I missed the first time around. That's about it, I think. That's Auto Tools in a nutshell. I hope this has helped. I hope, at the very least, I hope this has demystified the process. It's not a difficult thing. It is a little bit frustrating at first to learn, but once you learn it, it pays off it pays off in dividends. Is that does that make sense? Is that a good thing if you pay off in dividends? I feel like it is. It pays dividends. It gives you lots of benefits for all of the work that you put into it. It really does in many different ways. It's such an easy process, and every packager on the planet will thank you because it just makes packaging these things so easy. Because you just tell that your packaging thing, hey, it's a GNU Auto Tools project, so treat it this way. Run this command on it, and you know what you're going to get out. You know exactly what you're going to end up with. So it's super easy to package. It's already done for you, really. So give it a try. If you're distributing something and you want it to be easy to repeat and robust and predictable, try GNU Auto Tools. It is worth it. Thank you for listening. I will talk to you on the next episode. And who knows what that'll be about? I don't know yet. We'll find out together. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.